Invite you to remain standing for our scripture reading, which comes this morning from the book of Acts, chapter 16. And the screens are going to show verses 9 through 15, but I'm going to read verses 6 through 8 before verse 9. Paul and his companions traveled through the regions of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit kept them from speaking the word in the province of Asia. When they approached the province of Mysia, they tried to enter the province of Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them. Passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas instead. A vision of a man from Macedonia came to Paul during the night. He stood urging Paul, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Immediately after he saw the vision, we prepared to leave for the province of Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We sailed from Troas straight for Samarath and came to Neapolis the following day. From there we went to Philippi, a city of Macedonia's first district and a Roman colony. We stayed in that city several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the riverbank, where we thought there might be a place for prayer. We sat down and began to talk with the women who had gathered. One of those women was Lydia, a Gentile God worshiper from the city of Thyatira, a dealer in purple cloth. As she listened, the Lord enabled her to embrace Paul's message. Once she and her household were baptized, she urged, "Now that you have decided that I am a believer in the Lord, come and stay in my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you could be seated, please. This morning, we're going to be continuing our look at the book of Acts and the unexpected ways that God works in the lives of the apostles and more, and the people who believe in Jesus Christ. And as we look at these unexpected stories and the way that God worked in the early church, it reminds us, or it helps us to connect in our own stories, in the ways that God works in our lives. In the ways that God works, in ways that we don't anticipate, we don't foresee, or we don't plan. So this morning we're reading from the book of Acts, chapter 16, which chronicles the journey of Paul, the apostle, and Barnabas, and a man named Timothy, a young man that traveled with Paul and served as his scribe, writing down many of the letters that he wrote to the other Christian churches in his time. And even the author of the book of Acts, the gospel writer Luke, is traveling with the group this day. You know, it's interesting, in the scripture we read this morning, in verse 8, I believe it is, it says that Luke is writing of what the apostles are doing and saying that they're attempting to preach the gospel in all these regions. And then it says that the vision appeared, and Luke says, "We got up immediately and decided to go." So he's inserted himself into that story. And so today's scripture, at first you can see on the screen, can you go to a map? I'm sorry. In today's scripture, they're traveling around the region of Asia Minor, the Aegean Sea, the Mediterranean Sea to the south, and Paul and the early church are traveling around, and you can see their journey there. And they're going to each of these Christian communities that they're traveling there for a purpose. And they're going to strengthen the community. They're going to help the community to understand who Jesus Christ was and is, and more importantly, to help those who are new converts to the faith to hear the message that they want them to hear, which is not a message that's secondhand from someone else, but a message that they can come and say, "This is what they told you, but we want to fill you in on the details, the in-between." And so Paul and these other missionaries are traveling around, and they're going and they're sharing, and they've gone to communities like Derbe and Lystra and Iconium, Phrygia, Galatia, we know because Paul wrote a letter to there, and they intend to go to another community called Bithynia, but for whatever reason, their travel plans are blocked. I don't know if it's the Spirit of God that blocked it. I don't know, because it's part of the Roman Empire, if there's something going on in the community and they hear that the Roman Empire is putting their heavy hand on that community, and so they don't want to go. Maybe the roads are sealed. Who knows what it is? But what Luke writes in the book of Acts is that they are unable to go. And so they go to Troas, which is a community right on the shore of the Aegean Sea, and they wait. And in the night, a vision appears to Paul, and it's a man standing up telling him that they are to go to Macedonia, which is across the Aegean Sea. It's not a region that they had planned to go to. But Paul does something impressive, as in the others, is once they hear of his vision, Luke writes that they immediately got up and began the next morning to make plans and arrangements to travel across the Aegean Sea to the region of Macedonia. In Macedonia, they end up in the city of Philippi, where they stay a number of days. We should note that Philippi is important because there's Paul's letter to the Philippians, isn't there, that we are able to read as part of our New Testament? Philippi is interesting. It's a Roman city. It's a Gentile city. So there's not a synagogue there. So if you're Jewish and you're worshiping God and wanting to seek out the community of faith, there's not a synagogue to go to. And so what the people in Philippi have begun doing is they have begun gathering, or have been gathering for who knows how long, on the shore of the riverbank, on the Sabbath morning, on Saturday mornings, to spend time in prayer with one another and to fellowship with one another. Now when Paul and Silas and the others used to travel into new communities, the first place they always went was to the synagogue. And so after staying there a few days, it's the Sabbath and they have realized there's not a synagogue, and so they go to find this group of people that they know are meeting somewhere in order to share with them the message of Jesus Christ. Now I think it's really interesting, in the book of Acts, Luke writes that this group of people was primarily women. And so Paul and the others went and they found this group of women on the riverbank. And they sat with them and they talked about Jesus to them and they visited with them. These women were likely women who had married Greek men and, you know, they had traveled with their husbands and they were allowed to worship in the community. So Paul went to this group and they taught about Jesus Christ and they explained how Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and like many other places where they went, individuals heard this message and believed. In the translation I read this morning, I think it's interesting that this translation says that when Lydia, a woman who was from Thyatira, a dealer in purple cloth, heard the message of Paul, she was enabled to believe. If you read other translations, it says her heart was turned, and she heard the message and she believed. Lydia's a dealer in purple. A color that is of great value and expensive. It's believed that she had moved from Thyatira, her homeland, to Philippi to deal in this cloth, to deal in the dye. And so she came to believe. And the Scripture says that when she came to believe, she was baptized. All of her household was baptized with her. And then Lydia invited Paul and Barnabas and Timothy and Luke to come to her home and live with her. Basically, she opened her home for them to use it as a home base for the ministry that they were doing. And her belief allowed her to open herself to Paul and to these others. I think it's interesting that if we look at the first Christian converts that are written about in the New Testament, Lydia is the first Christian convert written by name to be converted to Christianity in Europe, which is kind of interesting. And so it's her and her family and her servants. And from them, the message of Jesus Christ continued to spread out into the world. You know, as I'm thinking about this story, I think there's things that you and I can think about. The first is talking about our plan. You know, I don't know about you, but we all have plans when it comes to our life, and when it comes to the Christian faith, and when it comes to being a follower of Jesus. We all have plans in terms of where we anticipate going and what we anticipate doing next, and where we see ourselves in the future. That's certainly the case in this morning's Scripture, isn't it? As Paul and the others are traveling through the region of Asia, and they're planning to go to each of these communities, and for whatever reason, the door is shut for them. And so instead of getting discouraged, they opened themselves for what next was going to happen, didn't they? They opened themselves for the possibility that maybe God had a greater plan for what they needed to do. Maybe God had a greater plan for where they needed to go next. And so they opened themselves to that. And so when this vision appeared to Paul, he was open to that. He was open to being willing to go, to voicing what he had received from that man in the dream to the other disciples, to the other apostles. And they heard it, and because they were prepared for whatever was next, they were willing to go. See, they didn't get discouraged. I don't know about you, but whenever in my mind, you know, we all have these plans, and it's easy for us to think this is what's going to happen next. This is what's going to happen in 5 years. This is what's going to happen in 8 years. And when it doesn't happen, it's really easy for us to get discouraged. See, Luke doesn't write that. Luke doesn't write that they got frustrated. Luke doesn't write that they got upset. Instead, Luke writes that they went on to Troas and they waited. See, I think they went to Troas and they waited and they opened themselves for what God was going to do. They sought out what that next thing was going to be for them. They waited to see what that next step in their journey was going to be because they realized that the journey that they were on was not their journey, but it was God's journey that they were a part of, didn't they? See, it wasn't their journey. It was God's journey that they were on. And so God took a roadblock and He led them down a different road that they never would have gone on. I don't know if they ever would have gone to Macedonia. I don't know if they ever would have gone to Philippi. I don't know if that was in their plan. I mean, it's hard for us to know. We don't know. All we can go off of is what we read in the Scriptures. But it says that they had planned to go to the road down to Bithynia. And if that road would have been open, they would have journeyed there. And who knows if they ever would have made it to Philippi and Macedonia, that whole region. And so when God opened that route to them, they saw opportunity. They saw the prospect that was before them. They saw the potential in the new path that had put before them. See, I think we can all think of times where maybe our own plans have not gone according to how we thought they needed to go. But we can also think of plans that they didn't go to how we expected, but they definitely went the way we think God wanted them to go. Maybe it's moving. Maybe it's relocating. Maybe it's just whatever it is. They're all so many different things. But I think what we could see is from Paul and Barnabas is they were willing to seek out God's plan for what was happening for them. And they were willing to go to whatever that next thing was, to wherever that next place was going to be, and they were ready. So when the door was opened, so when whatever it was opened, they were ready and they took that first step. And they went and lives were changed because of it. So I think there's a second thing that we can think about when we think about the story this morning. Is that this Scripture shows us how important it is for us to offer the Scripture, or the Gospel of Jesus Christ, to just one person. You know, this is one of those passages of Scripture that is different from some of the other ones that we read. And many of them we read, and next week we'll read one of these. But that the people heard the message as they were listening to Paul or Peter or Barnabas or Timothy or whoever it was. And it says that many came to believe. This morning's Scripture is very specific in saying that Paul and Barnabas and Timothy and Luke went to the riverbank and they shared the message of Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says that Lydia's heart was enabled to hear the message. It's just one. And I think it's really easy for us to look at these broad, you know, statements of so many people came to believe, or a multitude of people came to believe, and we can get discouraged when we think, well, I can only talk to one person at a time. But see, today's story shows us that the gospel spreads by one person sharing with one person at a time. You know, I've got this map. If anyone's familiar with infectious diseases, that's what it's from. But I think it's a beautiful, it's a great picture of talking about what it means for us to be that one person to share the gospel with someone else, and then it comes into contact with another person, and then another person, and then we see the way it spreads. You know, so the black dots, you can't really see them. Of course, they're in the middle of all those green dots radiating outwards. Those are the people that, you know, scientists can track, you know, when they're tracking a disease, and they say there's patient zero that has it, and then other people come in contact with them, and it kind of radiates outward. I mean, isn't that like how the gospel works? Is when you and I are willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with just one person, if one person's life is changed by me, then they go and share it with one person and the next, until more people are changed. And that's what we look at in the New Testament, is we look at people who went and they heard and then they offered it to someone else. And communities are changed because of it. You know, at our old church in El Paso, we served a church called St. Luke, and there were some men there that were really active in the Gideon ministry. You know, and Mindy and I had the opportunity, I guess every year we were there, 4 years, to go to they would have a celebration banquet in the middle of each year to celebrate the number of testaments that they had purchased and sent out and put in hotels. And it's because of they believed in the power of just one person receiving the gospel. You know, it wasn't them going and proclaiming it out to a stadium filled with people or going to this huge expanse of people that are out doing other things and talking and preaching, but they believed it, that if one person's life was changed by the Bible, by receiving the message of Jesus Christ, by receiving that salvation faith that you and I are able to share and receive, well, that one person would take that message and give it to the next person. And then the next person. And the stories we heard when we went to these banquets were of one person going to the hotel and being at their bottom of their life and reading the Bible and not ever picking it up or hadn't picked it up in years. And they said, it was at that time that I received what God needed for me to receive, and my life was changed because of it. And so I went from that hotel and I went to the next person, back to my family, back to my friends, and lives were changed because of it. I think it's really easy for us as Christians to think that we don't have the impact as one person that we can really have. I think it's really easy for us to go, well, you know, maybe that's not the plan that I saw myself on, and so that's not really where God wants me. But see, I'm going to tell you that I believe the journey that every one of us is on is the journey that God has placed us on. And part of that journey is making ourselves that one person that shares and offers the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone else so that as they receive it, they can go, and then the next person. And that doesn't mean we're done when we've shared it with one person, but it means we have an opportunity then to share it with another person. But that's how we have to orient our life. You know, the Christian faith, one thing I love about being a Christian, about being a follower of Jesus, is that our faith is not a passive faith. It's an active faith. It's not a faith where we're just called to go and pray and worship. But if we look, our faith is a faith that calls us to serve and to live and to step out and to be in community and relationship with people that may believe differently from us. And that's okay. That's not something for us to be afraid of. See, the story shows us this morning that each one of us can have an impact. If we approach the path that God has put us on as His path, as His journey, that you and I have an opportunity to share in, to participate in. Because He's going before us to warm hearts, to prepare people. It's our job to go with Him. As we live, as we serve, and as we worship, the God who gave us His Son and who calls and equips us to be His people, changing the world one life at a time. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.